We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are lucky enough to be joined by the newest Hall of Famer. Well, one of how many went in this week?
15.
So he and his 14 closest friends, at least this week, and the guy who came out on TV, gave him a big bear hug and told him he was in the Hall of Fame. I think he'd need to qualify as one of the coach's best friends. Bill Cowher joins us here on The Fan. Coach Jordy McDonald and Gary Myers here. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. It was a pretty special night, and it's been a pretty surreal week.
So, Bill, when you're doing that segment, I think it was with Phil, right?
It was. Yes.
And you see David Baker walking from behind you. It had to be surreal. I mean, you knew what it was about. You had to know what it was about. He wasn't coming to tell Phil he was in the Hall of Fame. what was going through your mind?
Well, you know, Gary, you know the process, isn't you? On the committee. And again, I'm blessed that, you know, that there was a great mix of people on there. And the vote was last Wednesday. And you know, you don't hear anything for a couple of days, and you start to wonder, well, maybe, you know, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And I almost had talked to my wife, and I'd kind of put some closure to it on Saturday morning as we were sitting around the coffee table, and I just told her, I don't think I'm going in, and I'm okay with it. I said, you know, the story's out there. I'm fine with it, because there were some very worthy candidates, and I was happy for everyone to get selected. And then I figured I'd go into the production meeting that night. We had the night game, and figured somebody would be asking me, but they kind of, no one asked, said a word to me. I'm thinking, well, they kind of give me respectfully, give me my space right now. And they probably do it if I hurt something, I'd tell them. So they almost reaffirmed the fact that in my mind, when I left the production meeting, I know I'm not getting in. I'm thinking, no one's even asking me now. So like, okay. And I'm okay. Like you can say, I'm okay. I was at least as a finalist. And so, we go out there and then they, you know, Drew Kalisky, our producer, says, hey, we want to switch the eye vision and put on the other side of the room. And Sean and David, Sean McManus, David Burson would like to take a look at that. And so I thought, well, and all of a sudden I saw him walking out onto the set right before the segment. I'm thinking, boy, don't screw up this segment because, you know, the bosses are right here. So I want to make sure I do this eye vision right. And, you know, and all of a sudden you sit there and I said something to Phil about Lamar Jackson. He goes, yeah, but there's one other thing. And I look over and you see David Baker and it's just, wow, it's just like, it just was not, and my first thing is, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be knocking on a door, you're supposed to be getting a phone call, not be doing this like you're interrupting Phil's eye vision. David, like, come on. And then, oh, wait a minute, come back here, finish what you're going to say. And then it just, you know, I look over and I saw my daughter and my wife, and, you know, it really was. It just got me right there, and it was like, wow. And then from that time on, you know, it's just been, a week ago today, and boy, you talk about changing your life. It's just has been really every day you wake up, it just hits you a little bit more, and it just resonates more and more. And it's, you know, I'm in Kansas City. We got a game, big game tomorrow here with Kansas City and Tennessee, and you know, and then you know, I wasn't planning on going to Super Bowl, end up going down there. So it's just, it's been a, you know, again, I sit there and look at the other coaches in the modern day, and to be like the 13th coach in modern day and Jimmy Johnson the 14th, it's pretty special.
So, Coach, you got to be annoyed at least one person. You were the last person to know. It seems like other people were in on this, and somehow they kept you in the dark. You got to be mad at least one person.
Well, no, the funniest thing, is, and that's why I actually love CBS. I mean, this, you're talking about a family. This is... these guys, you know, I know Drew knew since Thursday, and I'm like, wow. They had a little thing, which is ironic. They had with David Burson and Tyler Hale and Harold Bryan and, you know, Sean McManus, they had the emails going around Operation Gold Jacket. And so they were doing all this stuff, which I just heard about afterwards. I'm like, wow. And they didn't tell Nate. They didn't tell Boomer. They only told Phil about 5 minutes before we did the segment. They didn't tell my wife or Donald. They called them around 6 and said, you got to get in here. So no one, you know, they knew the people not to tell because, you know, the Cower family's terrible at by keeping secrets. I knew that. So they were smart there. But I think that my compadres were not going to be as good either. So, I mean, we're very close family, but we really are a close group of guys up there on that desk. They're like brothers to me. And, you know, and I, to be honest with you, I don't think I could have enjoyed learning that with any other group of people. Like my CBS family now, it was so special to share it with them about my time with my family in Pittsburgh before. And I just say I've been a very blessed man to go from one of the best organizations in football, if not the best, in my opinion, the Pittsburgh Steelers, to another place that is just as special, and that's one of the best broadcasting networks, and that's CBS.
Bill, before we get to talking about tomorrow's games, two things I want to tell you that I think I've told you in the past, that Drew Kalisky is a really good friend of mine because we worked together at the YES Network. So after the show was over, I texted him, and I said, when did you find out? And he said, Thursday. I go, man, now I know how trustworthy you are. You kept that from Bill for 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. I kept telling Drew. I mean, you know, we talk every day. So I was talking to him Thursday and Friday. And I said, listen, Drew, I don't think I'm getting in. So I just don't think I'm getting in. And I'm fine with it. That's what you to know. Don't ask me about it. I'm okay. I got put closure to it. I'm good with this. And I, you know, and then he didn't ask me in the production. And I go, well, you got at least to ask. I figured you have to listen to me like verbatim.
The other thing I was going to tell you is now, and I was honored to vote for you. And it was, like you said, there was a lot of qualified candidates. But now that we put you in, you better not go back to coaching.
Well, you know what? That's not going to ever happen. Honestly,
good luck with that, coach. I guarantee you, at least one of your buddies in the media is going to float your name next off season, despite the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame. They could still reach out to Bill Cowher. Mark it down. It's still going to happen again.
No, you know what? And listen, I love the life I have right now, the balance I have in my life, the platform that I'm able to be on, to be able to talk about a game I love, a game I respect, a game that's really paved the way for my life. And the onus I think you have to be where I'm at is to carry it on. I mean, to get the fans to understand all the idiosyncrasies of the game, what goes on behind the closed doors and all the decision-making that's being made. And I love the people I work with. I love the people at CBS. I love the guys I love on that desk. And like I said, I'm in a healthy place. And the other thing I love about this job I have is I have an off season. You know, I have 5 grandkids. I got 3 daughters. One daughter is in Tokyo who could not be here, and so I'm going to go see her in March. And you know, so it's really a special time for me to be able to enjoy this. And like I said before, this is a very special acknowledgement of the job that we did in Pittsburgh. And it's, you wake up every day and boy, to know that you were able to get recognized like that and a group of people you're with, it doesn't get any better than that.
Hall of Famer Bill Cowher, our guest here on The Fan, and he'll go back to work tomorrow covering the game from Kansas City for CBS on the pregame. Coach, 2 weeks in a row, teams knew what the Titans were bringing to bear when they took the field. If you can slow down Henry, you can win the game. Well, they're 0-2 in successes at being able to do that. 2 pretty good teams with good records and long resumes and the like. How does Kansas City get ready for trying to handle Derrick Henry?
Well, you know, I think you saw last week, I think what you saw with Baltimore and Kansas City last week was a little bit of the rust. The difference between the two, I think, is the fact that I think Baltimore didn't really have the offense to be able to throw the ball to get back in. You know, I think they kind of got a little bit away from their MO, their DNA, which was running the football, even when that game was close. Now, I think you saw in Kansas City getting down 24-0. You come back from 24-0, you realize how much confidence you have now as a football team, knowing that you can come back from almost any kind of deficit. At that point in the game, they had a lot of time. So, you know, I think what this is like, they say styles make fight. I think you're going to have a classic one because you're going to have, this is like Ali versus Frazier. Frazier being the Titans, they're going to sit there. They want to make this a physical contact game. And they want to be aggressive. And they want to win in the trenches. And you want, you know, the speed and creativeness of the Kansas City offense. So I think it's going to be important right now for Tennessee. They can keep this game close in the second half. Keep it within a score. Where all of a sudden, Derrick Henry becomes a big part of that offense. And we've seen this the last couple of weeks. He has taken over the game in the fourth quarter. Why? Because they've been able to stay close. So I think that's going to be a big key to this game, is the start. And, you know, Kansas City can get this game to the second half with the one score. Man, we're going to have a classic.
Bill, Andy Reid, 1-8 versus the Titans as a head coach, and that's his worst record against any team. Right. But to me, more importantly, his 207 regular season wins are the most for any coach in NFL history who has not won a championship.
Right.
Is he a different coach in January? He's just had some just heartbreaking losses in the postseason, some games where you really question his strategy. Does something happen to Andy in January that you don't see September through December?
I don't think so, Gary. I think the one thing that my feeling is that, you know, he's always built a team around throwing the football, and I think at times that has lent itself to having some bad games. But, you know, I look at the big picture. I don't sit there and look at it. It's like everyone wants to talk about Marty Schottenheimer. He was my mentor. And, you know, and unfortunately he struggled at times in the playoffs. But I think this is Andy's best team. I really do. And if you think about this, I think the stars are aligning. You wonder why I say that? I say that because of this. He's going into week 17 thinking he's going to play the first week, and all of a sudden he gets noticed that Miami Dolphins beat New England. Whoa, I get a bye. Okay, This is pretty good. All of a sudden the next week he's thinking, okay, we win this game. Then we got to go into Baltimore. All of a sudden Baltimore loses, and now all of a sudden you got home field advantage. So you just start to wonder if some of these things are starting to align for him. And, you know, they get down 24-0 and they come back. I think this is the best team he's had, because I think this might be the best defense that he has had since he's been here. And this is a different defense. Tyrann Mathieu has been very good. I think Terrell Suggs will give you something from a leadership standpoint. He's been in the playoffs. He's won a championship. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with adding people like that in your locker room. So, you know, Gary, sometimes you'd like to just bring in some people who have a little bit of that swagger, that cockiness. And I think Terrell Suggs, you know, he may only give him 18, 20 snaps, but I think what he gives him through the course of the week, watching him prepare, understanding his approach to this game, it will pay off dividends to all the younger players that watch it.
Coach, you talked about home field advantage and the Chiefs have it. How about home field advantage in the other conference? I know you're covering the AFC, but you certainly have your eyes on the NFC. Game being played out in almost pristine conditions in California. Chances are much different if we're going to be on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. How much of an edge is that for San Francisco tomorrow?
Well, you know, I guess the interesting about both these conference championship games is we all know that Tennessee won in Tennessee when they played the Kansas City Chiefs back there in week six, or I think it was. And then all of a sudden you have, or week 10, I think it was. And then now you have the Green Bay Packers going back where they got kind of blown out of that game against San Francisco. Now, you got to be really careful that you don't get a sense of, you know, quiet, false confidence if you're the San Francisco 49ers. I think the 49ers have the more balanced team. I think that they're very, very good on the offense and defensive lines. But I think when you look at this Green Bay team with right now Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, and Aaron Rodgers, those three guys on the offensive side of the ball, they're pretty special. I think for Aaron Rodgers, he's got a running game a little bit with Aaron Jones right now. He's got this, all of a sudden, Devontae Adams looks like he's healthy through a period of time this year where he was actually unhealthy and he couldn't play. But now they looked hot last week and they're on the same page. They're scary. They're a scary team to play. But I go back to the San Francisco 49ers. They have been comfortable in close games. They've won close games. They can run the football, and they can rush the quarterback, and they can get after you on their defensive front, and they're well-rested, and they look like they're healthy. So it should be a good one. It should be a classic one. If you look at the two, I think the two home teams are favored. I could see both home teams winning, but I'll tell you what, the two road teams that you're looking at right now, I think they both, you could put an argument out for both of them.
Bill, the Packers situation reminds me a little bit. You know, they lost by 29. You referenced that game. They lost by 29 in San Francisco on November 24th. And it reminds me, and Jet fans will remember this, in 2010, in December of that year, the Jets lost 45-3 in New England and then went back like 3 weeks later and beat them 28-21 in the divisional round. You know, Rex did that whole thing after the first game where he buried the football out behind the practice field and convinced the players that game was in the past. As a coach, I don't know if you were ever in that situation where you won pretty easily in a regular season game and then faced that team again in the playoffs, But as a coach, what do you, if you're Shanahan, what are you telling your team about that first game? And then if you're Matt LaFleur, are you even referencing that first game?
Well, the reference I will make to you is in our 2005 run that we made, went to the Super Bowl as a number six seed. We went in to the Indianapolis Colts, and we had lost to them on a Monday night, was embarrassed on a Monday night. We lost by over 25 to 30 points to them. And we went back in there in the playoffs, second round, divisional round of the playoffs, and we beat them. And then we went on and beat Denver and Denver and went on to the Super Bowl. But my point is that sometimes when you get beat like that, you know, it's like, okay, try doing it again. You know, I look at the game between Kansas City and Tennessee. That game could have gone either way. You had a fumble return by Tennessee. You had a blocked field goal by Tennessee. So, but this is one of those embarrassing games that, you know, Matt LaFleur, man, like, you know, let's go out there. They're going to take us for granted. And if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I am sitting there, and I've seen Kyle's, you know, his message this whole week has been, listen, don't be fooled by that first game. You know they're coming in here. They're a better football team. And he can say that we are a better football team. So the one thing I wouldn't do is downplay that you have the home field. They're coming into your place, and you just got to take care of business and just continue to do what we're doing. And they can try to play whatever card they want to play. Well, you respect them, but you also go out there knowing, you know what, we're the better football team. We've earned the home field. We won the first game. We know it's not going to be easy. That doesn't guarantee us anything. But, you know, go out there and just play our game, and the results will take care of itself.
Coach, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board and want to say congrats one more time. We'll be watching tomorrow. Thanks much for a couple minutes of your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Bill, and congratulations again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.